Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today, we're going to cover some news, and then we're going to cover some answers to questions. But first, we need to talk about the Supreme Court ruling and nullifying Roe versus Wade. Now then, all of the evil people, I'll put it that way, which includes mostly Democrats, and if you've been a lifelong Democrat and you're still registered as a Democrat, you might rethink your allegiance, because they are certainly given over to completely Satan the devil. And that was brought out when this decision came out. Rioting, looting, burning, and even members of Congress saying that Biden ought to declare U.S. military and government property safe places to put up tents to be able to perform abortions, because they are the people of death and murder. So, I say to every one of them, next time you look in the mirror, ask what would happen if you were aborted. And God looks at this with the uttermost disdain and the uttermost punishment coming. Now, there are some who are trying to do good. So far, there are a number of states who have completely outlawed abortion, which is good. But remember, we've already killed over 62 million. Now then, you do the math. Do you suppose that's why God put into the White House and God put Biden there as punishment for our sins and leaving him, and the number one sinners are the Sunday-keeping pastors, and who say that if you have faith and grace, you can do anything you want to and it doesn't matter. God says that's a lie. So until there's some change with the pastors, there will be no change in the punishment coming. And it looks like it's going to even get worse. So let me tell you right now, you better get some more stock and supplies in your house. Because the goal of the Biden administration, it's very apparent now, they want to make America as close to what Venezuela is like today by 2024. And if they do, not even Trump can turn that around. And remember this, everything that is done toward the good, it better be in line with the Word of God. And I was watching the news last night just before the Sabbath began, and there are sports everywhere, activities everywhere on Friday night. And the average person is going to have to repent of that. See, God means business. And we are the children of Israel, the tribe of Manasseh, that has more of the 12 tribes of Israel in one geographical area than all of the rest of the tribes in Europe. And God is going to hold us responsible. And he's going to hold the churches of God responsible. Okay? Let's come to Jeremiah 19 for just a minute. Let's see how God looks at this. Let's see what he had given to the Jews. And if there are any Jews out there listening, I have a message to you from God. Jesus Christ is the true Messiah and Savior, and you're suffering down through the centuries with all of your ancestors is because those in the time of Jesus Christ refused to repent. Refused to come to him. And God holds that responsible for them. And I ask every Jew, why do you believe in abortion? And then turn around and scream to high heaven when you're persecuted. And don't blame me. I'm just giving you a message from God. Now let's look at the message that God sent to the children of Israel before he destroyed Jerusalem the first time. Now think how stubborn your ancestors have been. They refused to repent in the days of Jeremiah, sent you off into captivity into Babylon, right? And then brought you back. And you read the account in Ezra and Nehemiah. As soon as you got back, you started sinning right in the face of God again. And if it weren't for Ezra and Nehemiah, you would have gone into oblivion again. What does it take for people to repent to God of their sins? Now, for all of those of you who think I'm picking on the Jews, hold on. God has a message for you, that if you likewise don't repent, you will go into captivity. And it's going to happen. The Word of God tells us it is going to happen. So there needs to be a cry aloud and spare not. So I hope this gets out to as many people as possible. So here's what God said to Jeremiah. And don't anybody out there say that the Bible is not the Word of God and it's not true. That's a satanic lie. And if you believe it, you better go repent big time somewhere. Because every single word is true and every promise will be fulfilled for blessing or for cursing. Okay, Jeremiah 19, thus says the Lord. Here's Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a lonely person, one man against a hostile, rebellious, stubborn, evil, wicked people. They should have been the people of God, showing the world how to live with the Ten Commandments, showing the world who the true God it was. No. But they had to go to their own evil ways. So he says, go get a potter's earthen jar and assemble some of the elders of the people and of the elders of the priests. This tells you who is responsible for the vast sins sweeping the entire population today as well as back then. And I tell you, the most evil thing to come is gender change of our children in schools. And go to the valley of the son of Immon by the entry of the potsherd gate, and there declare the words that I shall tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem, and that means the priest as well. So will the people in America hear? Will the senators and representatives and governors hear? Will they open their ears? Will they open their eyes? Will they read the Bible? Will they come to God and help the people get away from their sins? And will the pastors quit their conspiracy against the Sabbath? All right. All of those that I just mentioned brings the evil we're facing. And we will be facing great shortages this year. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, which shall cause the ears of him who hears to tingle. Think what that's going to be like. Because, here's the reason. God does not do anything without reason. God does not do anything without warning. Okay? Because they have forsaken me. Now then, I've got a reporter that says 81% of people in America believe in God. No, they don't. It's a profession that they have a consciousness that there is a God. But they don't believe in him, because if you really believed in him, you would love and obey him. But do you? Do you keep the Ten Commandments? Do you keep the Sabbath day? Do you keep his holy days? And you can give me every excuse under the sun why people don't do it, and know this for sure. Every one of those explanations are lies to keep you trapped into Satan's society and system. Okay? Because they have forsaken me. Now, who steps in when you leave God? Satan does. And when he first comes, he comes with a benefit. See? But remember this. You can never succeed in doing good by sinning. Remember that. Okay? And have profaned this place, and have burned incense to other gods, which neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. That is, they were sacrificing their children to the god Moloch. Now then, if you don't believe that the Democrat Party is an evil, wicked, death-hungry party, all six major Democrat states are enacting laws that will legalize infanticide, which means even after a baby is born, if you just leave it in and abandon it, it didn't give any age limit on it either. You cannot be held criminally liable. Now, you think about that, and you think about what God is going to do to those states, and you think what is going to happen. I'll tell you right here in California, we're in the midst of the driest time ever, and it is dry. And when it's not hot, the wind is blowing, and everything is drying, and the water is disappearing. And it's going to go away because people in California have given themselves over to evil. Starting with the current governor, all the way down to all of those who are homeless and on the streets. Little sidebar. They just discovered, after all this time, that smoking marijuana leads to mental disease. Huh! So why then do you legalize it? And why then do you and the population want to smoke it? Huh? And marijuana and heroin. So God says, that's not enough. You won't give it up? I'll have the Chinese send fentanyl here more than to kill everyone in America. Now you think on that. They've also built high places to Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal. And the word cannibal comes from the word Baal. Okay? Which I never commanded, nor spoke, nor did it come into my mind. Yet, there are those evil ones from the temple of Satan. See, because one of the big problems has been is that freedom of religion has been twisted to allow anything. So now, temples of Satan are being raised up in many different places in America. And they hold abortion as a ritual for them to follow. So don't think until these problems have some sort of restitution that there's going to be any good time flowing back. God removed Donald Trump for a reason. Number one, he didn't give enough credit to God. Number two, the people didn't turn to God and were thankful for all the good things that they had. So you think that went over. And if Donald Trump is listening, you better get on your knees and confess your sins to him directly. And you better give him credit for every good thing you ever did to America, because it wasn't just you. You may have been the tool in his hand to do it, but the people were unthankful. And you didn't give God enough credit. Okay? Verse 6, therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord. Okay? So the days are coming. You think we've had evil days come upon us? One day after another, one day after another, one day after another, huh? Add it all up. Look at everything that is done deliberately to choke down this nation and bring it to the point of starvation and being overrun with immigrants because of the abortions that have been against the children of this nation. That this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Think of that. God is not going to spare. And I will make the council of Judah and Jerusalem come to nothing in this place. So all you politicians, you better take a day of fasting and prayer to God, the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And you need to reconsider the things that you are doing and enacting and bringing upon the people and what you're telling the people that they can do, which leads them into sin. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of those who seek their lives, and I will give their dead bodies to be food for the birds of heaven and for the beast of the earth, and I will make this city a waste and a hissing, and everyone who passes by shall be astonished and shall hiss because of all the plague. And then what'll happen? What'll happen when all these people are in their homes and in their apartments and can't get any food and have children? Huh? What will they do to spare their own lives but kill their own children and eat them? That's what God says. You say, how horrible! How horrible! All right. It is. But it's going to happen. And it happened in Jerusalem in 70 AD. For the rejection of Jesus Christ, he absolutely destroyed the temple and the city. And the rebellion by Bar Kokhba, who was proclaimed by Rabbi Akiva as the Messiah, and he wasn't. They rebelled against the Romans, and the Romans came and slaughtered the Jews, so unmerciful. And the last bastion they had was Masada. Remember the little place on top of that high cliff? Well, the Romans solved the problem of getting there by having all the captive Jews build a ramp to go up. And they went up there. And all of the Jews committed suicide. And all the Jews today, to this day, do not admit their own sins, but blame the Romans. No, the Romans were the hand of God because you rejected God. And America today is in exactly the same position as it was back then. Okay, now then, I just got 7 books written by different people, how to solve the problems in America, how to return to God. Did any one of them mention the Sabbath? No. See? Because they don't get it. They play church. They play being Christian. And everyone thinks, I'm a good person. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is good but God. Do you keep the Sabbath? Do you keep the second commandment? Huh? No idols? Do you teach loving mother and father, and father and mother loving children? What is it that you teach? Huh? What is it that you go to church for? If you don't go on the day that says God to be there, you're going someplace. God is not. Okay, here's another thing that Jeremiah had to do and had to say. And remember, he was a priest, so he could do this. And also, his message to the people of the Jews in Jerusalem then was so powerful and so effective that they wanted to kill him. Even all of the priests and Levites that lived in the city of Anathoth, which was the priest and Levite city from which Jeremiah came, they wanted to kill Jeremiah because people are unwilling to face the truth. Now, what they found in different surveys is this. There's virtually no difference between Sunday-going Christians and just people in the world who don't go to church. Why? Because those who are going to church are going there so they supposedly can get free grace and continue to live in sin. And that's what was happening at the temple. So God told Jeremiah, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, right there in front of everyone, and proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. So I say the same thing. Hear everyone, Everyone in the church is of God. We have our sins and difficulties to add to it as well. But we better be the ones to give the sounding message and warning, right? And what are we doing? Well, we'll talk about that later. Same thing that they're doing here. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways. That means you confess your sins and you turn from them and you walk away from them and you don't do them. And your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in lying words. And that's exactly what you hear from the Sunday keeping pulpits. Lying words. Now, in our question and answer session, well, I may answer some concerning some Sabbath questions. Okay? But I'll tell you what you do. You look at how Jesus said in relationship to the laws of the that were given to Israel. He said, you've heard it said of old time, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you call someone a fool, then you have sinned. Okay? Now, that said, search the New Testament. See if you can find a verse that reads like this in the words of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord God of the Old Testament, who gave the Ten Commandments to ancient Israel. See if you can find this verse. You've heard it said in ancient times, you shall remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. But I tell you, I have come to change the law and abolish it, and you can worship on Sunday. Now you see if you can find it. And remember that they're lying, conniving, evil people who subverted the worldwide Church of God, convinced 40% of the Church of God to switch from Sabbath to Sunday. So don't think it can't happen. Back then, they said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Today it is grace and faith, grace and faith, grace and faith. You don't need any works. Well, if you don't need any works, why does God say that to the seven churches in Asia in Revelation 2 and 3, I know your works. Why? Because we're judged by our works. Because if you have faith, you will have works. That's what James said. Okay? Now then he gives a way of repentance, which is what we're talking about here. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and neighbor, and think about that. Think about all of those who helped President Trump when he brought these things to help the nation come out of the economic difficulties it was in during his 4 years. They're arresting them. There was one of the lawyers that they arrested without a search warrant given to him first, and they asked for his cell phone. And they took his cell phone. See, because now there is no justice. And not one Democrat has been hauled up before any board, any judge to be tried for their hideous things that they have done. But they're going after every Republican and everyone who's trying to do good. But those people who are trying to do good, I tell you, it's good you try to do it, but you better include God in it from now on. If you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, that's abortion, but think about all the murder. Think about Chicago. There you have a mayor who is cuckoo, absolutely insane, and they can't get rid of her, but they murder. Highest murder rate in America is in Chicago, and they can't stop the gangs. And so they want to take guns away from lawful Americans so they can't protect themselves, but they haven't devised a way to get rid of the guns from the crooks. So until you devise a way to get rid of the guns from them, don't come and ask for the guns of the law-abiding Americans, because the Democrats have made it so evil that you almost need armed guards to go to the grocery store today. And if you're pushing your child in a little walker going to the store, you better pay attention, because a car may run up on the sidewalk and strike you and try to kill your child. Okay? Nor walk after other gods to your hurt. All right? Now, let's see what you need to repent of. Isaiah 5. Everyone wants to know, how did things get so bad? Because you kicked God out of everything. First, out of the church by Sunday keeping. Next, out of the school by lawsuits. Next, out of the government by lawsuits. And thankfully, the Supreme Court said that coach in Texas had every right to stand at the 50-yard line and pray. So there are still some few out there willing to stand for the truth. Okay? Here it is. Verse 18. I think about it. Woe! That means trouble, anguish, and misery. To those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes. That's a perfect description of the Democrat Party and their leaders. Every one of them. And the newly nominated one to sit on the Supreme Court is the most completely unqualified person in America to sit on the Supreme Court. That as a woman, she can't even define what a woman is. Okay? Cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes, who say, let him hurry and hasten his work, so that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, so that we may know it. Well, the truth is, because of your sins, you're never going to know the purpose of God. Because God has it here, and it's a wonderful and it's a great purpose. And if you don't have the book that we publish, God's Plan for Mankind, revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days, you get it immediately. Now, if you're a Sunday-keeping Protestant person, you're going to read things in there that will stand your hair on end, because you have never heard them preached, yet they're in the Bible. And all about the plan of God. All right? What are those who call evil good and good evil? That's right where we are today. Right? Yes. There are even people saying, well, it's a blessing to have abortion, because that gives us more increased economic power. Really, God can take that away in a flash. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Okay. That's what they do, right? Anyone willing to accept giving an order from the head of, say, the Baptist Church, of all conferences in America, ordering all Baptist churches to quit Sunday keeping and keep the Sabbath on Saturday from Friday night to Saturday night, sunset to sunset. Now, if that would happen, you'd see some changes in America. You would see the heavy hand of God lifted, but they're not going to do it, because they're no different than their stubborn, blind, sinful, wretched priests and Levites at the temple during Jesus' day. Verse 21, woe to them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. If that doesn't describe all of the politicians and ministers today, I don't know what does. Woe to those who are mighty to drink strong wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Just add in there the drugs as well. Who justify the wicked for a bribe. Huh. Did you see who was released? Huh? Two men who smuggled in more fentanyl than has ever been recovered and enough to kill every American twice, came before a wonderful Democrat judge. Did he send them to jail to await trial? No. He let them loose on their own recognizance. Huh? Where is justice? Where is truth? So don't think for 1 minute it's going to get improved very much. And the only way there will be any improvement, if there will be changes and repentance in the things I've already covered, okay? Who justify the wicked for a bribe, who take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Okay? There will be people who will be screaming bloody murder because of what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, if you say that of me, then think about what you need to be screaming bloody murder against is all of those abortionists and all of those who agree with it. See? One little sidebar, Planned Parenthood, you know the two P's on their emblem? They actually represent broken wounds. You think about that, okay? They better go demolish everything inside those buildings and get rid of it. Now, here's what's going to happen. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flames burn up the chaff, their roots shall go up like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up like dust because, now listen carefully, because I don't care if you're a nice, mild, aged widow or if you're a young teenage boy or girl, or if you're an adult man or woman, young or old, makes no difference. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. Huh? Do you know the Ten Commandments? Do you keep them? Do you repent when you break them? Do you have a Bible and study it to learn how you're to live? Do you know anything about God? Do you know anything about what he's doing? Do you know anything why you're here or what God's purpose is for? Do you? No. Because you've cast it away. I got a big thick book like this. Every known high profile person in the world rejects the Bible calls it lies, including presidents of the United States, starting with Bill Clinton. See? So you might say, Fred, what are you getting all excited about? Well, I gave a message similar to this when I resigned Worldwide Church of God in 1979. Because they were profligate, lying, stealing tithes, and not serving God. And I gave that message on the Day of Atonement, 1979. And there was sitting in the audience Leroy Neff and Ron Reedy, who were there to replace me. And I gave this resignation message, and they didn't know that it was coming. And I prayed all the time I was giving it that they would not come up and take me down off the stage. But I remember God inspired me. Right when I got to the Laodiceans, Revelation 3, where I said, and I remember the words clearly, as if just given to me today, if there is not someone standing in the pulpit in Pasadena telling the people to amend their ways, the forces of evil will be let loose that will tear the church asunder. Now then, it took 12 years before it happened. But those are the words of God. I don't take any credit for it except being a mouthpiece for God of what he once said. So if all of us, if we love God, and we want to prepare for the kingdom of God, and we want to help bring this world peace under Christ, we have got to know what is going to happen. And we have got to grow in strength and in spirit and in knowledge and in understanding. And we, of all people, need to quit playing church. That's what's important. See, we can all be nice when we get together, that's fine. But if you come to church, if you go whatever church you go to, and it's a nice social thing for you, and I've heard people say, well, I listen to Fred, but I go where my friends are. Huh. Okay? You better go where the Spirit of God is. And you better ask for the Spirit of God for your life, for your family, for those you know. And you better get right with God. Because evil days are coming, and they are going to be beyond description, like some of the things that I have read. So we'll take a break, be back in 20, and we'll take some Bible questions at that time. Continue on. There was one comment brought up right after we signed off, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And since a lot of people, especially Protestants, don't like to be told what's in the Old Testament, here's what Paul wrote. And Paul is the one they believe in. Yet, they don't even understand some of the things that he wrote. Okay? So here in 1 Corinthians 10, so if you'll turn there, please. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. This is talking about the Israelites as they had wandered in the wilderness. And so this is a warning for us from Paul. And they all drank of the same spiritual drink, and they drank from the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, you see, most Protestants don't completely understand that the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament became Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Okay? Now, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not pleased. So angry at them for what they did, that instead of going into the promised land after the end of a year and a half in the wilderness, which is what God originally planned, they were so rebellious that God said, all right, since you don't believe me and you don't believe Joshua and Caleb, okay, and their good report, you're not going to go into the land. But everyone over 20 years of age is going to die in the wilderness, and you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now think of that. Now think about the fact that that didn't have to happen. See? Could have been very simple. Everybody love and obey God. Now here's the warning from Paul. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for their dead bodies were strewn in the wilderness. Now these things became examples for us. Huh. So that we might not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither should we commit sexual immorality as some of them committed, and 24,000 were destroyed in one day. Neither should we tempt Christ as some of them also tempted him. Now, how clear can that be that the Lord God of the Old Testament was Jesus Christ and were killed by the serpents? Neither should we complain against God as some of them complained against God and were killed by the destroyer. See? So isn't it kind of miraculous, or how should we say, stunning, that the Protestants say you don't need the Old Testament? And the Catholics say that's the old law. No, the old law that the Catholics have is the Babylonian law that they have renamed Christian. Okay. Now notice verse 11. And all these things happened to them as examples and were written, we can say preserved, for our admonition on whom the ends of the earth are coming. Okay, so that's quite a thing. All right. Question. Here's not a question, but this came from a man. He mentioned that you should not talk about things that you hear, or you should not go online to watch the alternate news. And really, the alternate news is about the only place you can get the truth. Now, there's a lot of other things mixed in with it. Okay? Because that could be tending to spread gossip. Well, I remember in Worldwide when they came out with this same thing. And what was that? They were trying to cover their tracks for all of the problems that they had in Worldwide. So, what did they tell us? Oh, you can't know anything about these things, and whatever you hear is gossip. All right? So we'll have to wait and see. Question. Revelation 7 and 14 concerning the 144,000. Okay? Now, let's look at them. Okay? Revelation 7. Let me look at the question here again. It says, we've been talking and explaining 144,000 great innumerable multitude from Revelation 7 quite a bit. My question is, who are the 144,000 of Revelation 14? Now, we do have a publication on it, but we'll take a quick look at it, okay? Are they the bride of Christ? Yes, I understand this, but they are the ones who never defiled themselves with a woman and are virgins. I understand that a woman in the Bible can mean a church. Does this mean ones who were never part of an organized religious group, Sunday, any church of God? No, it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that. That's how God looks down on it. Okay? All right. Does that include those that we know nothing about who keep the Sabbath and holy days? Now, I don't know how many there are about it because we haven't heard them, but I imagine there are some somewhere in the world who are doing that. Okay? Now, first of all, what's important with Revelation 7 is this. We have a time frame for this. And this is on Pentecost, 1 year before the resurrection, on the next Pentecost. Now, if you haven't figured out how to make the chart that I suggested to make, I made one and Ron has it up online. Okay. Number one, what does this do which refutes everything that the Jews have to say about the other 10 tribes? The Jews say the other 10 tribes were absorbed into the Gentiles. In other words, they don't exist. But Amos 9 and verse 9, God says he's going to pass Israel through many nations and not lose one seed. So they're still here today. And Revelation 7 proves they're here today and here at the coming of Christ. Why? Because there's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes that are saved, right? And a great innumerable multitude. All right. Now then, this identifies them. These are the ones who were in captivity. But because they received the Spirit of God administered by an angel, shows they had to have repented. Okay. Now then, when we come to Revelation 14, let's turn there, we find something entirely different. Okay, it's similar in some ways, but completely different otherwise. So you need to write for the publication we have or look for it online on truthofgod.org. Verse 1, Revelation 14. And I looked and I beheld a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having the Father's name written on their foreheads. Now, it doesn't say that of the 144,000 in Revelation 7. Then I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, like the sound of great thunder, and I heard a sound of lyre players playing their lyres. And they were singing a new song before the throne, or before the four living creatures and elders, and no one was able to learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So the difference here is these are from different nations of the earth, not the 144,000. Okay? These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they were virgins, They are the ones who followed the Lamb wherever he goes. In other words, wherever Christ led them to go, they followed. See? They were purchased from among men, not Israel, as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Now, there's no time frame given when this occurred. So this could occur over the whole span of time from the beginning of the church till the return of Christ. And no guile was found in their mouth, for they are blameless before the throne of God. Okay. So, they are probably, so I'll ring the cowbell, they are probably the ones who will be the bride of Christ. Because they are virgins. Now, when you go back to Revelation 2 and 3, you look at the churches there. Out of the seven, only two were not accused of having problems. The church at Smyrna would suffer a lot of persecution and martyrdom. Second church. And then the sixth church, the Philadelphians. Only those two were not defiled with women. You look at the rest of them. You look at Pergamos. Theirs was right at Satan's capital. Okay? And they were inculcating some of the practices of the heathen. Eating things sacrificed to idols. Okay? And they had a hierarchical ministry. Then you look at Thyatira. Wow. They went through more things and had such terrible problems that Christ said to the woman Jezebel, who brought in the false doctrines, and she didn't repent. Now, it's very interesting. Jezebel is probably the Catholic Church. Okay? Undoubtedly. And she caused many of the brethren to sin and eat things sacrificed to idols. And God says, I gave Jezebel space to repent. Now, not many people know this, but to combat Protestantism, the Catholics set up the Council of Trent. And the Council of Trent lasted for decades. But within that, there was a party of Catholics who wanted to follow what the Protestants were saying, solo scripturo, and they wanted to get rid of all idols. Huh. Very few people know that. But, as you can read in Appendix N in Rome's Challenge to the Protestants, that because the Protestants kept Sunday, but not the Sabbath, therefore, it proved to the Catholics that Scripture and tradition could be kept. And that's why they never repented. See? Then you come to the church of Sardis, it was dead. Church at Philadelphia, you can read that. Then the church of the Laodiceans. And you know, a lot of them were not converted. Because Jesus said, if anyone hears my voice, when they repent of being lukewarm, and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. Now this means that they open the door of their mind to be zealous, to love God, and repent of their sins, and then Christ will put his Spirit in them. So that tells us that a lot in Laodiceans do not have the Spirit of God in them, but perhaps with them, and may include a good number of Protestants. But they all have to repent, okay? So the difference between the 144,000 in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14 is that Revelation 14 is not from the 12 tribes of Israel specifically. All right? Here's another question. Our daughter and many others, other women, have had miscarriages, which is a very hard thing for a mother to go through. At what period of time will she get to raise her baby? I do not know. We know about everyone being raised at the second resurrection. Okay? So, that's probably when it will be at the end of the millennium. We don't find anything that it's at the beginning of the millennium, so we can't create another doctrine by saying that that could be so. So, but remember this. When all of them are raised, and this is God's answer to all the evil of abortions. In spite of all of their evil, God has not forgotten any that were aborted and killed in the womb. Okay? And he will resurrect them undoubtedly to full-term babies. Because whenever there is a conception, what that person is going to be is sealed and locked at that time. And everything about that individual is in that smallest bit of substance, as it's called in the Bible, and has the spirit of man. So that's what God is going to use to resurrect them. Okay? So I know what you're saying with this, and let's hope that we can understand these things more. Now here's one here. The failure of the Constitution. See, just like with the Word of God and anything else. If there are instructions that are to be followed, if you don't follow them, you won't get the results you want. Okay? So, here with the Satanists, they're claiming that they're entitled to have abortion as a religious right. Now then, if they had the judgment in the law that there should not be abortions and there should not be Satanist churches, this would not be a problem. But when you have it, you can't discriminate against any religion, then evil will abound. Okay. Now, here's a question here. If you want to know everything that we have printed, write in for our catalog. Because we have over 130 in-depth publications, many of them with CDs to go along with transcripts. Here's one. This has to do with since the cost of burying someone today is very expensive. I mean, we had some insurance for Dolores, but it cost us a total of everything over $15,000 for that burial. Now, what if you don't have insurance? What if no one has relatives? What if the only thing left is cremation? Is it wrong to cremate? Well, let's look at it this way. What happens when the body is buried and in the ground? Dust you are, and to dust you shall return, right? Okay. Now, if you're in the ground, it takes a lot longer. And how does that happen? Well, I don't know. What about those who are buried at sea? What happens to them? Sharks eat them. Huh? What are you going to do with that? Huh? The answer is this. Let's come to Ecclesiastes 12. And it has to do with the spirit of man. Okay? Because 1 Corinthians 2 says, there is a spirit in man. And we know with that, that that is what gives us life. That is on what everything about us that we do is recorded, is on the spirit of man. And every human being has that. Okay? So, verse 6, Ecclesiastes 12. Before the silver cord is broken, that's referring to age, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So when someone dies, the spirit immediately goes to God's keeping. Those who are converted, let's come to Hebrews 12. Remember those two chapters, Ecclesiastes 12 and Hebrews 12. Okay? What happens when someone in a church dies and their spirit returns to God? What does God do with it? Well, number one, it's spirit, and we don't know how big it is, right? I mean, think about this. Think in reverse. When we were conceived, how big were we? Huh? A small speck of dust you couldn't see with your naked eye. Did it have the spirit of man in it? Yes. Did it have anything on it? Oh. No? It didn't. Okay. Well, what happens if you're born, you're in the world, you have the spirit of man, like it says there in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, that you understand the things of man by the spirit of man which is in you, and the things of God you understand with the spirit of God. So the question is, what happens to the spirit of God and your spirit? Because they were united when you were baptized. Okay? Had hands laid on you. All right? Chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. Now that's in heaven above. That doesn't refer to Mount Zion or the mount where they received the Ten Commandments. Okay? Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, which is where? In heaven above. Heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. And we don't know how many angels there are. I mean, read the last part of chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Everything in heaven and on earth and in the sea under the earth sing praises to God. Okay. Innumerable company of angels. Verse 23. To the joyous festival gathering, to the church of the firstborn. Okay. The firstborn are those who were raised from the dead at the first resurrection. Okay. Church of the firstborn registered in the book of life in heaven. Now, where does God store the spirits of those who died in the faith? Somewhere up there in the altar of God. Okay. How much room does it take? We don't know. I mean, if you think of all of us as a little speck that could not be seen, how much space would that take up for all human beings that have ever lived and died? Probably not much, okay? Registered in the book of life and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just who have been perfected. There they are, right there at the altar of God. So that's what happens. Now, that being said, let me ring the bell. If you have a place for all of the converted where their spirits go when they die in order to resurrect people who will be in the second resurrection, who had not committed the unpardonable sin, have to have their spirit stored someplace as well. Otherwise, they couldn't be resurrected, correct? Right? Yes. Okay. Now then, let's take it one step further. Does God know all of the incorrigible wicked? What is their fate? Their fate is what? The second death. That means they have to live again, so there's got to be a place where God has stored the spirits of all of the incorrigible wicked to be saved, to be resurrected, to be in the flesh, so that all the wicked down through time who have failed to repent and rebelled against God will be thrown into the lake of fire at the same time. Okay? So, that was a good question. Okay? So, to answer the question about cremation, if you have the money to be buried, that's the best way to go. If you don't have the money to be buried, and the only way it can be handled is with cremation, that does not take away from God's ability to resurrect the individual. Okay? And since the spirit goes back to God, which is the most important thing, then what happens to the flesh in cremation? It goes back to dust much quicker than being in the grave. Okay. Question, during the millennium, if one decides he or she doesn't want to follow God, they'll be exiled to Gog and Magog. After being exiled, can they still have children? No. Because then the whole pattern would have to be repeated again and again. And probably in the second resurrection, there will be no children, new children, begotten and born. But there will be how many children and infants that have been killed down through history that will be resurrected also, and they will have parents who will take care of them being resurrected themselves. Now think about a woman who comes to her consciousness of having aborted a baby, and then if she enters into the kingdom of God at the first resurrection, when the second resurrection comes, boom, there's her baby. If she was not in a church of God, the mother will be resurrected, and the baby will be resurrected, and will give the baby back to the mother full term. Have to be, okay? For safety's sake, there's my bell, cowbell. Okay? Okay. Next question concerns Exodus 20. Let's go back there. Okay. Exodus 20. Now, I'll tell you a little something about when I was down in Los Angeles pastoring Torrance and Santa Monica. Dave Brady got me on ABC Religion on the Line, and that ran from 11 p.m. to 12 p.m., and I was on there 4 weeks in a row, okay? And a little Jewish woman called in and said, she lost her grandchild and I'll never see it again. And Rabbi couldn't answer the question. So I said to the rabbi, may I answer the question? He said, yes. So I told her about the second resurrection, that she will see her grandchild again. And I read in Ezekiel 37, okay? And then she said, Rabbi, is that so? Well, since it was in Ezekiel, he had to say, yes. He couldn't say no. Okay. All right. Next question here about idolatry. Let's read it. Exodus 20, verse 4. First four words tell us everything we need to know that's going to be coming after that. First four words are, you shall not make for yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's on the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now that's something. Okay. But showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. That's New Testament doctrine, isn't it? Right there. Verse 6, what did Jesus say? John 14, he said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. All right? So the question here is, if I wear a cross because it's a constant reminder to focus on the magnitude of Christ's sacrifice, I absolutely know that it has no power, or to treat it as an item to worship. Is it still okay to wear? All right, let's read the first four words again. Okay. You shall not make. Okay. Or get from someone else who made it for you. So you don't need to wear it. The way you have a constant reminder of the sacrifice of Christ is your daily relationship with God through prayer and Bible study. Okay. And you can include that in your prayer. And you do, don't you? What did Jesus say about the model prayer? Okay, let's go back to Matthew 6 and look at it. Okay. And this model prayer is a daily outline. It's not to just be repeated verbatim all the time, but it's an outline on how we are to pray. Okay? Let's pick it up here, Matthew 6 and verse 9. All of this comes by prayer and by study and by experience and by meditation, by thinking on the laws and commandments of God, the words of the New Testament, and all of this sort of thing. Okay? Verse 9. Therefore, you are to pray after this manner. Protestants, listen up. Doesn't say, O Jesus. It says, Our Father. And 1 John tells us that if we don't have the Father and the Son, so if the Jews say they have the Father but not the Son, they have no relationship with God. If the Protestants say, we have Jesus, but you don't have any relationship with the Father, then you're missing the whole point of what Jesus said. Because in John 16, Jesus said that now you can pray to the Father in my name. See? So he revealed it right back here in Matthew 6 and verse 9. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are we doing right here? We're honoring God, we're praising God, and we're asking for God's will in our lives, right? Isn't that true? God's will, your will be done on earth. And when we pray, that means in our lives, as it is in heaven. Is not God's will always done in heaven? What happened when Lucifer didn't do the will of God? He was cast down, right? Right. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread, and everything we eat daily comes from God. Okay. Forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this doesn't mean you won't have trials, but this temptation is being delivered into the hands of the evil one. That's why it says, and rescue us from the evil one. Okay? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay? So back to the question. And the answer is simple. No, you don't need a cross. Okay. Finally, in a home decor, if I have a theme in my house, say buffalo pictures and figurines everywhere, seeing them only reminds me of the fascinating and artistic mind God has had to create such a powerful beast. Am I breaking the second commandment? Only if you bow down to them and worship them. It's not wrong to have an image of a buffalo. But I'll tell you this, I like bison burger best. And it's good. Here's one. Is there any biblical reason that one should not donate their body to a medical school? What about donating organs? Okay. Well, I would say it's best not to do it. After all, you're mixing genetics. The only ones that are not mixing genetics are identical twins, and they have been known to transfer one kidney to and afflicted the other twin to receive the kidney, and it's successful. However, first thing to do is this. Take care of your body. Watch what you eat. Make sure you get the things that you need. See? So I would say, if you live long enough and old enough, your organs aren't worth donating in the first place. And Jack and I agree with that because we're past the sixth grade. Okay. Okay, one more question. Oh, this is a long one. We'll save that for next time. Okay, getting into some long questions. We will have questions and answers next week. If you have more questions that you want answered, you send them in, and I'll answer them. If I can get around the mess of all the paper that comes with getting all of these things, I've got about 5 stacks here, okay? So we'll have to say we've run out of time and gone over, so we'll see you next week, and we'll continue on with the Bible answers.